This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Starting off with your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade, May corn was up a quarter to 358 and a half. July corn was also up a quarter to 367 and a quarter, while September corn stayed steady at 375. May soybeans were up 1.5 to 880 and a half. July beans were up 1 3/4 to 894 and a quarter. And August beans were up 1.5 to $9. May wheat was down 2 3/4 to 444 and a quarter. July wheat was down 2 to 448 and a quarter. And September wheat was down 2 1/4 to 454 and 3/4. May soybean meal was down 70 cents to 303.20. July bean meal was down 80 cents to 306.80. And August bean meal was down 80 cents as well to $308 per ton. Finally, soybean oil for May was up 34 cents to 28.80. July bean oil was up 31 to 29.09. And August bean oil was up 30 to 29.24. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Thursday's Cash Grain Reports.
This is Thursday's reported grain price and trend from the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mostly higher on Thursday afternoon. It was a quiet trading day as traders prepare for a long weekend with the Chicago Board of Trade closed tomorrow for Good Friday. In northern West Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady to 2 cents higher at 316 to 349. Soybean bids were 1 to 2 cents higher at 789 to 834. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady to up a penny at 330 to 347. Soybean bids were 1 to 2 cents higher at 821 to 842. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 2 cents at 329 to 360. Soybean bids were 3 cents higher at 823 to 854. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 331 to 359, soybeans at 829 to 859. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 343 to 357, soybeans at 849 to 870. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 320 to 360, soybeans at 842 to 873, and June-July wheat at 419 to 453. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock numbers from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle were up $1.60 to $128.52. June live cattle were up 30 cents to $122.67. And August live cattle were up 20 cents to $119.75. April feeder cattle were up 37 cents to $145.70. May feeders were up 92 cents to $151.52, and August feeders were up 22 cents to $160.67. Finally, May lean hogs were up $1.27 to $90.20. June lean hogs were up 62 cents to $96.75, and July lean hogs were down 7 cents to $155. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture once more this morning for Thursday's Cash Livestock Reports.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday Afternoon Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations show a 200-pound pork carcass traded 92 cents higher in a range of 71 to 81, and with a weighted average carcass price of 77.93. From the Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices were $1 to $4 higher with very good demand for moderate to heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at 40 to 45, 4 to 5 weight at 43 to 49, 5 to 6 weight at 46 to 53, and over 600 pounds, $50 to $57. In the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gilts country buying points were firm, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $48 to $56. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts have totaled $15,640. In the direct cattle trade, the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and libations trade at 126 to 131, and on address basis at 205 to 208. Choice heifers and libations trade at 127.50 to 130, and on address basis at 207 to 208. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established, with 296 loads traded, Calculations are a 200-pound pork carcass was $87.85, which is 85 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout, pork values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading mixed. Choice carcasses are $233.06, which is 30 cents higher, while select carcasses are $219.46, which is 70 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 122,000 compared to 111,000 last week and 115,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 477,000 compared to 429,000 last week and 461,000 one year ago. A recap of today's walnut livestock auction had receipts of 200. Compared to 2 weeks ago, slaughter steers and heifers sold 3 to 450 higher. Slaughter Holstein steers traded steady and slaughter cows sold $3 lower. Slaughter steers choice at 128 to 134. Slaughter Holstein steers choice at 85.50 to 90.50. Slaughter heifers choice at 126 to 132.50. Slaughter cows, breakers average dressing at 46 to 56.50. Boners average dressing at 44 to 53. And leans average dressing at 35 to 41. And slaughter bulls at $71. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show on this Friday morning, brought to you by Farm Credit Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you this morning by CHS, farmer owned with global connections, and by the CNB Bank and Trust, with 19 locations to serve you. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. America's pig farmers continue to practice the many principles of Earth Day, which is this Monday, April 22nd, every day on their farms. Pat Bain from Arrowsmith, Illinois, who is also America's Pig Farmer of the Year, says farmers are always striving to be more efficient. That results in earth-friendly pork production.
You know, in my state, we have a comprehensive nutrient management plan to make sure that the manure we put on the field is put on is at agronomic levels based on the not only the analysis of the manure, the evaluation of the soil, and then the nutrients that the crops remove.
According to a new study called Retroactive Assessment of U.S. Pork Production, it considers the changes seen from 1960 to 2015. The study found nearly 76% less land is needed to produce a pound of pork in the United States today. Pig farming also uses 25% less water and 7% less energy.
It's changed a lot over time. I mean, I'll be 60 this summer, and I've seen a lot of changes in the industry, and I can honestly say I think the animals not only perform better, but they're actually more comfortable and better cared for today than they ever have been.
The Pork Checkoff-funded study uses a comprehensive life cycle assessment approach and the best methodology available. For more information, producers can contact the Pork Checkoff Service Center, go to pork.org, or call 800-456-PORK. While many eyes in the world of trade are focused on China, many in the ag community are hopeful the North American Free Trade Agreement replacement will receive a vote to be ratified soon. President Trump has left the decision of when to have such a vote on the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement up to Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Central Washington Representative Dan Newhouse says he hopes the vote takes place soon. He says he is confident the USMCA would pass overwhelmingly on the floor of the House, and that this summer is a great opportunity to hold the vote, since there is a rare window where all three countries can clear the trade agreement.
There's been a lot of farm groups coming to Washington, D.C. over the last several weeks, advocating for passage of the USMCA, and I'm hearing that there's a lot of support out there, So I'm encouraging the speaker to put it on the floor as soon as possible.
Democrats have expressed concerns over what they see as a lack of environmental and labor teeth in the USMCA. In other ag news, farmers now have another option to combat weeds in their soybeans and even cotton fields. Michael Clemens has more.
Syngenta has released Tavium Plus Vapor Grip Technology Herbicide, available for use on Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans and Bolgard to Extend Flex cotton. Bobby Bachman, soybean and cotton herbicide product lead at Syngenta, says the herbicide is now available to growers this growing season, pending individual state approvals.
Tavium is the first dicamba residual premix approved for use on dicamba tolerant crops and cotton on the market. It is a combination of dicamba and S-metolachlor, offering two effective sites of action to manage key ALS, PPO and glyphosate-resistant weeds. Tavium adds a second layer of effectiveness against tough-to-control weeds while providing up to 3 weeks longer residual control compared to dicamba alone.
Resistance is a top concern for growers. Bachman explains how growers can delay the development of resistance.
It's unfortunate, but weed resistance continues to evolve and growers can no longer rely on single modes of action to manage tough-to-kill weeds. But there are steps that growers can take now to help slow resistance development. One step growers can use a residual pre-emergent herbicide in their weed management program. This allows for additional effective sites of action, which means the plant now has to overcome multiple obstacles not only to live, but it's also a defense mechanism against resistance as well. Other step growers can take to reduce resistance development is to always use full label rates, always utilize multiple effective sites of action, overlap the residuals. Just using good agronomic practices is key, such as cover crops, tillage, narrow rows, and increasing plant populations where appropriately.
Bachman says Tavium fits into herbicide programs already in use that are aimed at fighting resistance development.
We're excited to bring two effective sites of action forward in dicamba, a group 4 herbicide, as well as S-metolachlor, a group 15. In soybeans, when using Tavium followed by a product such as Boundary, Broadax, or Prefix herbicide, you're adding multiple additional sites of action, so you're getting up to that 3 sites of action. In cotton, using Tavium followed by a Caprol or Reflex herbicide is also adding a 3rd site of action to defend against tough-to-control weeds.
He says Tavium also provides residual control to reduce the need for follow-up post-emergence applications.
One of the key pieces here is it brings forward residual and contact control with the dicamba and the S-metolachlor. It is going to be delivered in a convenient premix formulation, so you're getting both those AIs in one formulation, which is key. It offers application flexibility from pre-plant through post-emergence, and it can also be tank mixed with other herbicides such as glyphosate, Flexstar, and Fusilade to manage a broad range of weeds in soybeans. And in cotton, it's a great tank mix partner with Caprol or Reflex along with glyphosate to really round out the weed spectrum. As a pre-emergent herbicide, it's going to control 21 different weeds, and as a post-emergent herbicide, it will control 60 plus different weeds in a grower's field.
To learn more about Tavium, visit your local retailer, Syngenta representative, or visit www.syngentaus.com/Tavium. Tavium Plus Vapor Grip Technology is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions. Michael Clements reporting.
Moving on to state and local ag news on this Friday morning, the Illinois Department of Agriculture plans to honor the former state agriculture director and former U.S. Agriculture Secretary John Block. The agency said Wednesday that it plans to dedicate a plaque with Block's likeness on Monday morning at the Illinois Department of Agriculture building in Springfield. Block served as the U.S. Agriculture Secretary under President Reagan from 1981 through 1986. He was born in Gilson in West Central Illinois in 1935 and graduated from West Point. After serving in the Army, he returned to his family farm, which had expanded from 300 to 3,000 acres. He was appointed to lead the State Agriculture Department in 1977 under then-Illinois Governor Jim Thompson. The U of I Extension Office will be hosting an ABC's Blackberries Workshop. This workshop will be held at the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro. You can join University of Illinois Extension Horticulture Educator Andrew Holsinger as he presents all the basic concepts for growing blackberries. The program is scheduled to take place next Wednesday, April 24th, from 2 to 3 in the afternoon. The cost for the program is $5 per person and will include handouts. Please pre-register by visiting their website, go.illinois.edu/CJMM, or by calling the Extension office in Hillsboro at 532-3941. Please pre-register by Tuesday, April 23rd. Moving on to FFA news, we have some reports from the Hillsboro FFA chapter. And for that, we join Hillsboro's reporter, Aaron Kistner.
Grace Anderson went on to state judging, where she was one of the top five competitors in her area of specialty crop. FFA members select areas of interest and keep detailed records and hours of types of work they've completed. Grace was the Section 19 winner in February and moved on to district competition in Sullivan, where she was interviewed by a panel of judges, and she was selected to move on to state. On April 12th, Hillsboro FFA chapter traveled to Carbondale to participate in the SIUC Livestock Contest and Horticulture Contest. The livestock team judged classes of beef cattle, hogs, and sheep. Varsity placed 15th out of 50 teams, and the top scoring varsity member was Zane Kinney. Members of the varsity team were Zane Kinney, Preston Larla, Ian Malloy, Caden Mateer, and Garrett Shockey. JV livestock team placed 9th out of 19 teams. The top JV member was Caden Leapshire. On the team was Mitchell Ernest, Caden Leapshire, Harley Page, Jaden Jacobs, Zinnan Kinney, Clayton Eddington, Olivia Gent, and Aubrey Myers. The horticulture team had to identify types of plants, graded plants, created landscape design, and checked plants for diseases. The team placed 11th out of 20, and our top team member was Grace Anderson. The team members were Grace Anderson, Maddie May, Carly Mackey, and Cameron Wilson. Third graders from Coffeen and Hillsboro Grade School will have a chance to learn more about animals and agriculture through exhibits and presentations by FFA members and area agricultural enthusiasts. The students will spend the day at Hillsboro High School Agriculture Building with live exhibits and presentations on soybeans, rabbits, poultry, corn, goats, and farm safety and tractors, and possibly other animals. At this annual event, students will enjoy an up-and-close look at the animals and ask lots of questions about the animals and farm life. They also enjoy a pork patty lunch cooked by other FFA members. This is an annual event that allows grade school students to learn more about where their food comes from and how ag affects the lives of everyone. We would like to offer sessions about pigs and cattle. If we can find someone with animals we can use, if you can help out, please contact Mr. Gallion at Hillsboro High School or Gabe, the alumni president.
Thank you, Aaron, for that report. And if you have any ag news going on in the local area, you can submit that to us by email at wsmi@wsmiradio.com. And just a quick reminder for you, you will not be hearing your commodity market updates today in observance of Good Friday and the Easter holiday. And I hope everyone has a very happy Easter this coming Sunday. For this Good Friday morning, April 19th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.